need to do something. I realize as soon as I step down, this is wrong, because it's Christmas morning. And the shepherds are refreshed. The shepherds got refreshed last night. Why? Because what happened? It was stopped. The angels came to talk about them. They were out of the field. And so last night, I finally remembered to move them into depression. I've got to move them out of depression this morning. So we're going to say that this is the field where the shepherds are keeping the flock. But it's kind of weird, isn't it, that those angels came and talked to them. We seem to have this strange fascination, don't we, with angels. I don't get it myself. I'm not quite sure. I mean, you know, I'm sure you've seen a lot of these television shows, right, that have, you know, angels in them. They're very, very correct. You know, like Touched by an Angel, Joan of Arcadia, there's some new one I haven't seen yet. Kevin probably saves the world for all of how angels interact. I'm trying to get back and forth with getting my notes, but I'll get it there. So, and you know, so there's movies too about angels. There was one many years ago with Michael. They're the end of the world type of movies, you know, Legion, Dogma. Dogma's a very cool movie. Don't mind if you have thoughts. But angels are here. You don't want to see more here. So angels seem to be part of our, I don't know, heritage, our way of thought. They just seem to be so much part of our culture, maybe because we kind of know what angels are, right? Because we all think that angels are dead people who got wings, which is not how the Bible describes angels. One of the descriptions here, this is kind of cool. So one of the descriptions of angels comes from the book of Isaiah chapter 6. Seraphs, these are called seraphs. Seraphs were in attendance of the Lord. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. Not exactly what we normally think of when we think of angels, is it? Now, it's interesting to me that angels are oftentimes are scattered throughout the scripture. There's lots of references just to angels, like in Genesis chapter 22, right? I know that you all know what Genesis 22 is all about, just to refresh your memories. It's, you know, Abraham took his son Isaac up the mountain, because we're all a little Lutherans and we know that scripture story. And so what happens? If Isaac had been a teenager, it would not have been a sacrifice. Abraham goes up there to offer Isaac up in sacrifice, and God sees this and sends an angel to stop Abraham and provides a ram instead. Another story of angels comes from the book of Numbers, a guy named Balaam. Balaam was a seer, he was a prophet. Balaam is hired by another king to go out and curse people he doesn't know. He just takes a gig. He doesn't know what it's about. It turns out that the people he's been hired to curse are actually the people of Israel. And this kind of ticks off God. So God sends an angel to permanently stop Balaam from doing this. But his donkey is far smarter than Balaam is. And the donkey sees the angel and prevents Balaam from losing his life. The angel is sent to carry out God's will. Of course, there's a story in Genesis 19 of Lot, Abraham's nephew Lot, who lives in the town of Sodom. These two angels show up in Sodom, and the townsfolk of Sodom want to do nefarious things to these two angels until the angels literally grab hold of Lot and his family and drag them out of town before they rain hellfire and brimstone down upon the town. Again, they were carrying out the message of God. I don't think that angels necessarily want to cause emotion, but they tend to cause emotion whenever they show up. You know, especially, it's one thing to show up to Abraham. You know, God made the covenant with Abraham. Abraham was a really strong guy. Balaam was a seer. God, angels show up to the prophets, Elijah, and so on. But when angels show up to everyday people like us, we react to
what did we hear last night? In that region, there were shepherds living in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But how did the angels again and again throughout Scripture always start with their encounters? Do not be afraid! And yet, what was Simeon's response? You know, that Greek word afraid, phoba, is the root of our English word for phobia, or as it was translated in that passage from Luke about the shepherds, it can be translated as causing fear, source of fear, the one I really like, feeling a need to escape from or avoid a threat. Do you ever think of an angel as a threat? Angels are celestial beings. We heard about them in our reading from Hebrews this morning. And it encounters with everyday ordinary people, those of us who aren't expecting those encounters. Angels can be scary. So why are we talking about angels? Aside from the fact that I had to move the shepherds back into the field. What do we know about Christ? I mean, that's what our prayer is for, isn't it? We're celebrating Christmas, Christ, Mass, the birth of this Christ child. Yet, what do we know about this Christ? So the author of Hebrews, I think, is trying to help us understand what this Christ really is by comparing Christ to the things that we know about. And in this case, the author of Hebrews uses angels to help us understand what Jesus is not. Jesus is not an angel. Jesus, as we heard in John's Gospel, Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was in the beginning with God. Jesus is the Trinity, three in one, one in three. Or as our reading from John ended this morning, verse 14, one of my favorite verses, the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. If we take that in the Greek, because that lived among us part, it's really the Greek word is there for tented or tabernacle. The Word became flesh and tented among us. I love the way that the new translation of the Message puts that. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Christ is there with us in our everyday life. What the author of Hebrews is also trying to tell us is that Christ is not part of creation the way angels are. Angels were created. Jesus was at the very beginning and did the creating. When we struggle, how do we understand Jesus? Human, divine, created, creator, these are big theological issues that we continue to struggle with that have consequences. You know, do we say that Jesus is a human being who became holy? Well, we say that means that any human being is capable of becoming sinless, becoming God, which by the way, the best of my understanding is Mormon theology. If we say that Jesus is totally divine and not human at all, that if he's not human, how did he die? How could he die? And if he didn't die, then what happened on the cross? And what's the deal with forgiveness of sins if he didn't shed his own blood? Which is also, by the way, a big heresy.
There goes the saying, well, Jesus was created by God. That makes Jesus subservient to God the Father. And Jesus can't be both created and equal to God. These are the things that they were struggling with in the first century. These are the things that we're struggling with in the 21st century. How do we understand who and what Jesus the Christ really is? So we look at things that we can understand. Angels. Angels are our lookout of creation. As we've heard in John's Gospel, Jesus was there at the beginning. He was the creator, not the creation. But that's also why, in a few moments, we're going to use this language as together we confess and proclaim our faith. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through whom all things are made. So why do we have angels? Well, in part, again, as we heard in Luke's Gospel last night, to sing God's praises, to proclaim the word and glory of God, and to bring that word to us everyday common humans. So here's an interesting thing. There's one very notable exception of when angels show up and talk to people. And they start off, do not be afraid. There was one who, when the angels showed up, totally unexpected, said, do not be afraid. This one young girl, Luke's Gospel said, rather than being terrified, she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Mary. Theotokos is a Greek word, bearer of God. She was not afraid. So I think what I'm asking us all on this Christmas morning, that in all aspects of our lives, in the joyous and calm and cheerful, as well as in the dark and scary and fear-filled times of our lives, we hold on to Emmanuel, which means God with us. God walks with us. God tabernacles with us in all aspects of our lives. And starting as that small baby in that forgotten part of the Roman Empire centuries ago. And we, as believers, good timing. We as believers are called to bring forth that message like the angels did with the shepherds, with joy and grace and song. Let us go forth this morning, singing God's praises with the angels. Christ is born. Alleluia. Amen.